Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day. We're so thankful for the gathering of the saints together, the encouragement, the motivation, the love, and the good that is stirred up here, God. We're so thankful for it. And we're thankful for your presence in our lives. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit given to us through salvation in Christ, the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth, who protects us from error, helps us to discern, and most of all, helps to magnify Christ in our life. I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful, Father, that through Christ we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can present our requests to you. We can humbly ask and make petition, God, knowing that you're listening and that you respond always in the way that's best. So grateful for these things. So grateful for these precious promises. And we want to pray, Father, for Angie's job application that she, or her response that she's waiting on. We pray, Father, that your will be done. And we pray that you'll give her peace about this situation, and we pray you give her peace no matter, God, where you move her to or where you keep her at. We just pray, Father, that you'll help each of us to trust you with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. But Angie's request is that she'll get this job. We pray, Father, that that'll happen. We pray that above all things, God, your will be done. We want to pray for Audrey. Father, as Bonnie has shared, Audrey's having a hard time. She's really struggling. And again, God, we're just trusting you. You are the giver of life. But our prayer is that Audrey wouldn't just continue in suffering. We pray, Father, that you'll ease her pain. We pray, Father, that you'll comfort her. And above all, God, we pray your will be done as to when her life here comes to an end. We pray, God, you'll be with her family, be with her friends, and comfort them as they go through this process. Help each person involved, God, to look to you for strength, and for healing, and for comfort and peace through it all. Father, we want to pray for Todd. We pray, Father, that you will provide for him the care that he needs. We pray you'll bring workers, God, who will be there for him and help to provide for his needs. We pray, Father, your hand will be on him. You'll bring healing. You'll bring support. God, you just fill his life with everything that he needs. And we do ask, God, you'll bring the right people that'll do a great job for him. And we know you're able to provide for our needs. And so, Father, we lift these three requests up to you. We trust you with them, and we praise you for how you're going to respond and act on our behalf. And, Father, I pray now you bless this time as we read and study your word together. Father, this is about growing in our knowledge of Christ. This is about growing in our walk with you. And this is about hearing your voice, not mine. Please bless this time, and please use it, God, to glorify yourself and to build up your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Last week we did something amazing. We did the whole chapter 5, the whole of chapter 5, and the whole of chapter 7, and a little bit of chapter 6 last week. It was awesome. But Proverbs 6 still has some other things in there that we skipped over, just so we could keep 5, 6, and 7. We took out all of that about adultery and immorality. We talked all about that. But we're going to go back now into 6, talk about a couple other things that are brought up here. So we're going to read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 11 today. I really thought I would get further, but you know how I am. I probably overdid it, but that's okay. Proverbs 6, 1 through 11 says, "My son, if you become surety for your friend, If you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So moving from what we discussed last week, sexual immorality, in that discussion we talked about how costly it is. And we actually talked about financial things, how expensive it can be. That's just one of the consequences that we discussed that come from sexual immorality. But along that line, it seems, Solomon moves into a couple other ways that we can bring financial trouble on ourselves. So he gives us some financial wisdom. A couple self-destructive behaviors that we need to avoid. One being an issue of debt, and one being an issue of laziness. So let's jump right into this. I have a lot of ground to cover. Another foolish way to get yourself into trouble is taking on too much debt. And I know that's hard to say because we live in America, and America is about $38 trillion in debt. So just so you know, the government is not setting a good example.
Really?
Let's not get off on a tangent, but I'm just saying. And the issue with that is when you are in debt to someone, you actually make yourself a slave to that person. And we're not supposed to become slaves of men. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Do not make yourself slaves of men. But that's what happens when you're in debt. Proverbs 22:7. We're going to cover a lot of Proverbs today. Lots and lots of them. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. And we don't want to make ourselves slaves of men. And getting into too much debt can do that. Now, debt itself is not sinful, but not paying your debt is sinful. You remember, we talked about this just briefly, not that long ago, but Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borrows and does not repay. That's a wicked thing to do. But debt itself, or borrowing itself, if you look in the Bible, you look in the Old Testament, the way God handled the nation of Israel, it wasn't illegal. It wasn't unlawful, but you had to pay it back. And it was wrong if you didn't. Also, the other side of it was an issue too, because when brothers, the nation of Israel, when they would borrow from each other, they weren't to charge each other interest. They weren't to be making money off of each other that way. There were people who worked as money lenders who did charge interest, okay? But even then, they had a limit because there was a thing called usury. Usury is excessive interest, which is wrong to be charging. And there are a lot of lenders today who charge excessive amounts of interest. And you got to stay away from that kind of stuff. Can't make rash decisions to put yourself in a position where now you are working for somebody else and you're not working to take care of yourself and your family. But more specifically, because I don't want to get too far away from what we're doing here in Proverbs 6, more specifically here, Solomon is saying, you definitely don't want to become responsible for somebody else's debt. Don't become responsible for somebody else's debt. You're doing just fine. You're paying your bills, you're doing good, and then someone comes to you and they say, hey, could you help me get this loan so I could do such and such? And right here, the Bible says that you should not do that. It's a trap. It's a snare, he says. You've been snared in verse 2. You've been taken, verse 2. Verse 5, you're like a gazelle in the hand of a hunter. You're like a bird in the hand of a fowler. You're in a trap. And if you've done that, you need to get out. And this isn't the only place that he says stuff like this. And by the way, he says here in Proverbs 6, verse 1, he says, he's talking about your friend. Your friend. And I looked this up because I wanted to be sure who we're talking about here. And this word friend, just a quick look at the Hebrew word in my concordance and my Hebrew dictionary, it can be anybody. It can be anybody. It actually gives you a list. It says,
my Bible says neighbor.
Can be neighbor. Can be brother. Husband. It can be any word like that. It's used like that in different places in the Bible. The same exact word. So as much as someone will not like it and want to argue with me, but it's even talking about family. It's even talking about family and your child. And you say, well, I know what you're going to say because people have said it to me in the past. Yeah, but my kid, I got to help them do this or whatever. But you don't want to be training your kid to be buying things they can't afford. That's a bad habit to set. You're not helping them. My advice, you don't have to do life like I do, but when Luke was ready to get a car, I bought the car, and Luke is buying the car from me, right? I'm not, yeah. Well, I'm not, I didn't just sign my name to his loan to help him buy something he couldn't afford. Yeah.
Can you go tell my son that?
Yeah,
I'd love to. I can tell him no, I would not co-sign for a car for him who doesn't understand.
I would love to tell him. And not only that, but you know, there's another issue that goes along with that, because financial matters among family members can cause very much trouble. Very much trouble. And it's better, I'm just giving you the Bible wisdom here. The best thing for you to do is just say, I'm sorry, can't do that. Now, if you want to give, to them and help them that way, that's fine. But don't become collateral for someone else's debt. That's all this is saying. And he says it several times. I'll show you in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 18. He says it again. Proverbs 17, verse 18. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Devoid of understanding. Again in Proverbs 22, verse 26 and 27. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? That's a good one. Why are you going to let someone who can't pay their bills take away everything you have? That's foolish. Foolishness. Let's see, I skipped one. Sorry. Proverbs 11, verse 15. So you know, right? I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says, right? Proverbs 11, verse 15. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. There's your options. There's suffering and security. And now I come to that spot in my notes to talk about the word friend, but I've already said it. Don't become collateral for anybody. Don't become collateral for anybody. If somebody has a need, a genuine need, and you can help, give it to them. If you don't just want to give it to them, you can borrow it to them, right? And they can pay you back. Just don't charge them interest. Don't be heavy-handed, right? But you can help that way. But don't sign your name as collateral to a stranger for anybody.
What's your thoughts there then, like colleges?
There's a lot going on with that today, huh? Uh-huh. Because people are not paying their college loans back, and now they want them to be canceled, and I don't think that's right. Because if you sign your name, here's the thing, if you say you're going to pay somebody back and you don't, that's lying. And if you expect someone to just cancel your debt, you're stealing. You made an agreement. And the same, I think this the same idea with parents. If parents want to fund that,
I guess that's what I was getting at. Like, more so, like, kids going to college, and then as far as parents paying, they are, like, signing off on the loan for your kids to go to college. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be better if you just did it yourself. If you're going to be involved in it, you just do it yourself. Right? So it's on you. If the kid is going to do it, then they need to do it themselves, and you can help them be in a position and teach them. They need to pay that back as soon as possible. And people could use a little wisdom on what they're going to school for, the degrees that they're getting, whether they're going to be able to pay back their loans in a reasonable amount of time with that degree, things like that. I mean, I think what this comes down to is just making plans or not making plans and doing things hastily and not really having a plan. To go to college just because, and to take out loans just because, I don't think is a very wise plan. To go into debt and on a hope, you know, maybe I'll be able to, you know, that's not good financial planning. It has to be more specific than that. Well, hopefully when I get out, I'll be able to, well, that's not a plan.
I think there's a myth out there that a lot of people believe that you have to have a college education in order to get a good job.
Yeah, you don't. And there's other ways to be trained for specific jobs.
Right.
But to go, if you know what you want to do,
right,
and you're going after something, go to school and do it. But just to go to school, just to go to school, I think it's probably just going to cause trouble. There's trade schools. There's a lot simpler ways to be focused on what your plan is.
School of Hard Knocks.
School of Hard Knocks, yep. That's how I did it.
That's how I did it.
And if you don't know what you want to do, here's what you do. Work, get a job, and find out what, and trust God, and let God lead you. That's how I did it. When you just start working, you find out what you're good at. You find out what you like to do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the second part of this lesson today about laziness. That don't just sit around saying, well, someday I'll figure out what I want to do. I don't know if I helped you at all. I still don't think it's a good idea for you to sign on for someone else. That's what this is about. If they're going to sign on and do it, that's fine. And they get a job and they're working, that's fine. If you want to do it for them, that's fine. Get the loan yourself for them, I mean. But don't put yourself as collateral for someone else. People have to learn to work hard and provide for themselves.
Co-signing should be illegal.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Well, the whole co-signing thing actually puts expectations on people, because then they're expected to do that, and that's unmet expectations at some point if they don't.
Well, yeah, you're giving people an out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I can't pay it, the person who signed for me will go after them because they're on there.
Yeah, so. It's just not a good habit to get into. Living on credit is not a good habit to get into. Teaching people to rely on someone else to pay their bills is not a good habit to get into. All these things. All these things you encourage by signing your name to someone else's debt. It's not a good idea. Somebody's going to suffer. And what this is telling us is it's going to be you, the one who signed your name to somebody else's debt. And college loans and all this stuff can cause friction in a family. You hear the stories.
Mm-hmm. Corey, I've had an experience over the years. If you loan to a family member, assume it's a gift.
Yes.
And if you get paid back, you feel so good about it that they paid you. And if you assume it when you give it that you're not going to see it again, you don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So it get your mind right. If you can't afford to lose, you shouldn't give it to them in the first place.
Yep, that's good advice. That's what Melissa and I have adopted.
If you use the other way and treat it like an ordinary, expect to be paid, and you harass it,
you're just setting yourself up.
You lose your money, and you lose your kid too.
Yeah, yeah, it causes trouble. Yeah. Thankfully, I don't have enough money to loan people.
Right.
But if I'm going to help someone, I just give it. I just give it. Yeah. Back in the day, I've loaned to church people and never saw them again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the School of Hard Knocks, Kathy. So I just give. That's good advice. Good advice.
Well, you only do it once.
Take
you
your lump.
Real fast.
Take your lump and move on. Here, let me give you some reasons why this is practical. Number one, if they can't afford it, maybe it's not God's will for them. Mm-hmm. Number two, we should never encourage people to buy things they can't afford. Number three, money matters destroy relationships. And number four, don't encourage laziness. If you want to help people get out of debt, you know what you should do? Encourage them to get a job or a second job.
Work on a budget with them.
Work on a budget with them, yeah. Don't. They got to learn to overcome this stuff. That is a fact. If you want to avoid that, if at all possible, avoid being in a financial matter with people that you love. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't encourage laziness. Because as we kind of brushed upon here with all the suggestions, that's one thing that you do when you sign for somebody else. They don't have the incentive to take care of that because they're going to be leaning back on you. Yes, yes. He does bless us with a job. He blesses hard work. That's the second part of this. We're not there yet.
Don't you think our culture is leaning toward condoning laziness?
Death and hell, yes.
Definitely. I'll wait.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry. I didn't let her finish. Sorry.
I'll forget what I was going to say.
Yeah.
No, condoning laziness and persecuting the hard workers. That's what they're
persecuting
doing.
Hard workers, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no longer rewarded.
Yes, that's the second part of this. We're going to get to that. when you are taking things that you haven't earned, you're stealing from people who have earned them. That's what you're doing. Hold that thought. The scriptures here say, if you've done this, you're caught in a trap. You shook hands to put yourself in a trap. And I already mentioned this, but I didn't read the verse. We have to be careful about making financial decisions. We have to plan. Let's see, I have a verse for you. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. You have to make financial plans, and you have to stick to them. You can't be flying by the seat of your pants with your checkbook and that. Make plans. Don't make hasty purchases. Don't be fooled by scammers. Yes, it's too good to be true. And no, they're not going to call you and be asking you for money. Nobody should be fooled by scammers anymore. I mean, it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. If you think someone's legit who's calling you from a certain company, you know what you should do? Hang up. Call the company yourself so you find out, so you know who you're talking to. Don't believe stuff over the phone. By the way, this is why gambling is so foolish. This is why gambling is so foolish, is because you don't have control over your money. And that's what you're doing with the debt, signing on debt for somebody else. By gambling, you're giving control of your money to somebody else. And that's foolish.
I got a question on that. We had a conversation out there, it's kind of about gambling, and they basically does not mention directly in the Bible. And we looked for, could it come up with something besides like foolish? I mean, like spending and
it's foolish because you're giving control of your money to somebody else. It's also breaks a lot of principles, because it breaks the principle of love. Number one, because people get addicted to gambling, mm-hmm. and ruin their family. Okay, so that violates the principle of love. You shouldn't encourage that.
You earning money, or you're getting money you didn't earn by working.
And getting, taking money you didn't earn, right, is stealing. It breaks the principle of stealing. You can apply principles to it, even though the Bible doesn't say anything about it. You can apply things. Go ahead.
I have friends that live in Las Vegas, and they work in the gambling industry, at least they used to. And they've always said that people come there and to gamble, to lose their money. That is their main objective. Yeah. They are there to just have entertainment, and they're not gonna stop until they lose it all. Mm-hmm. So I've got this plane, going back home, and standing in line, and these people right behind me said, I wasn't going to leave until I lost it all. And I'm going, they were right.
Wow.
I mean, you have that people have that mentality.
What's fun about that?
That you're not going to go out there, and that's what gambling.
We'll just drive down the road.
It gets
that.
Just throw it out the window.
It gets that hook.
Geez, that was fun.
It gets that hook.
It is.
So, and there's nothing good about it, no matter what, because you've got drinking, prostitution, and gambling. All three of them go hand in hand.
What about like a fundraiser?
You can have a fundraiser without gambling.
Well, I mean, you put money in the pot, and they draw your name, you win or you lose.
You give it back.
You give it back to the organization, all of it.
You're intentionally buying something, trying to, you know, but and giving it to somebody. But here, the industry, they've just got their hands out, and people are just saying, please take my money.
Well, the thing about gambling, the thing about gambling at a fundraiser is, instead of giving money, you're getting money.
You're expecting something in return.
Am I wrong about that?
Right.
So, here, okay, we can do a 50-50. That way we'll get more money because people are going to buy tickets, but somebody else, instead of like giving money, is getting money. Well, that doesn't make sense to me.
Unless the winner gives it back.
The point of the fundraiser, it's called a fundraiser, not a fund giver. You're supposed to be raising money. I think you can do that without gambling.
Expecting something.
Yeah, without expecting something. And I don't think, and using that to try to get people to give you money, I think is dishonest. Yeah. See, we want to pursue holiness. Yeah. You want to do things pure.
You want to be separate.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I don't have to do stuff the way the world does.
Gambling is a bad deal.
Is that being a good steward?
And being a good steward, yeah, that breaks the principle of being a good steward with your money. Yes, absolutely. Being a good steward. God has entrusted you with money.
It's not ours.
And he's expecting you to use it wisely. Most of the time now, fundraisers, we just give or donate things they need, like food or, you know, to help with expenses, things like that. But I don't play the games. You're asking for help, and I can help, I'll help you. We don't need to play games. I don't need to try to win anything. If you want to give away something that was donated, you know, then maybe that's a little different. But, you know, you have everybody gets a ticket and you just give away something or whatever, you know, something like that. But to put gambling involved, I think ruins the idea of the fundraiser. You guys are digging me a big hole today. You're hearing all my honest opinions. Gambling's not good. I mean, there's some things that people get hooked to that's really dangerous. And if we love our brothers and sisters, we should stay away from them. That's why I'm 100% against alcohol. I've seen lottery tickets, the same idea, gambling. But alcohol destroys people. I'm not buying none. I'm not encouraging someone to beat their wife and, you know, rape someone and
kill somebody on the road.
I mean, and people, you know, people try to equate this stuff to, like, well, someone will say, I've seen this, watching videos about this stuff, and you look at the comments. I like to look at the comments, just see how nuts people are. Well, people get addicted to Doritos. There ain't a single person that ever died in a car accident because of a Dorito overdose. The equivalence is silly. Drinking and driving is a real thing that really kills people. Spousal abuse is a real thing that happens because of alcohol. In fact, most car accidents happen because of alcohol or drugs. Spousal abuse, alcoholism itself, right? Every person who became an alcoholic at one point took their first drink, right? You want to hear my opinions on things? Here we go. I don't think alcoholism is a disease. It's a choice because you took the first drink. You took the first drink at some point, and then you took another one after that. And now that you are an alcoholic, you can't blame it on somebody else or something else. It's not a demon. It's not a sickness. By the way, the Bible says drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. God wouldn't send somebody to hell for a disease. It's a choice. The fact that you're in this deep now, right, is your own fault. So, alcoholism started with a choice, And here, you want to hear something magical and mysterious? It will end with a choice.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we should encourage any of those things. Some people say, well, the Bible says you can drink but not get drunk. Well, I've got a 100% sure way to make sure you never get drunk. You want to hear it? Don't drink. I guarantee you, you won't get drunk. That's never made sense to me anyway, because where's the line? How do you know? Tell me where the line is where it's like, well, I'm not there yet. Oops, now I am. Where is that line?
It impairs your judgment.
You've heard me tell you before. I actually witnessed with my own eyes. I saw a guy's attitude and behavior change because he knew he was going to have a drink.
Yeah.
Started acting completely different, like two different people. Yeah. I looked at Melissa. I said, what in the world just happened? He hadn't even drank yet. He was already acting different. That's just my opinion. Where are we at now? What else do you want to talk about? Let's just...
You ended with 21:5.
Yep.
The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Oh yes, scammers, gambling, that's where we got. Alright. Twice now in chapter 6, verse 3 and 5, it says deliver yourself. If you've already done this, you need to get yourself out as soon as possible. He says don't even give any sleep to your eyes. Get out. Go to your friend, and you get out. You get out of it.
Flee.
Deliver yourself.
Get out of the debt?
Yep. Get out of the arrangement that you just got yourself into. Get out of the arrangement you got yourself into. Now, even more, we can go more specifically, your own personal debt. Yes, you should be trying to get out of that as soon as possible, too. Okay? Debt trouble. People get into debt trouble, I know, but... telling you today, you got to get out of it ASAP, and you spend, knock out the smallest bills you got first, and work your way up. And don't, when you knock out a bill, don't spend that money on something else. You roll it over to the next bill you owe.
Snowball
it up and get out of there. If all you have left is your house and your car, pay extra on them. Pay extra on them if you can, so that you can get out. We don't want to be slaves to men. I know in our culture, which you brought up, our culture is living on debt. Our whole nation lives on debt. I know to have a home and a car, you may have to do this. But you only do it, okay, if you can afford it, with cushion, right? Because you still should be able to give to God first, give 10% to your savings account, right, and live off the rest.
You'd be amazed, even on a car loan, how fast an extra $20 or $30 a month adds up. It helps you pay it off anywhere from 6 or 9 months earlier.
Yep. Get out of there.
You can only borrow what you can pay back. You don't need to go excessive.
Yep.
Like even when I bought my house 20-something years ago, I was approved for so much more.
Yes.
I wanted to be comfortable, so I knew where to keep my payment.
Yeah, it's not wise.
Yeah.
It's not wise to purposely put yourself...
They
were showing me all these houses, like, well, here's what you're approved for. Yeah. I was like, yeah, but just...
When we go to get a loan for a vehicle, I always know what we can afford per month, and I always make it lower than that. And they're like, well, I'd rather be able to pay more, but on the lean months, pay the minimum.
You guys all know about... go ahead.
The crazy thing, though, in our society, okay, so you become debt-free, your credit score goes
down.
It doesn't go up. So the more debt you've got, the higher your credit score, as long as you're paying. But that's what the crazy thing is. So you cannot depend upon society as congratulating you, or you're going to get rewarded to go ahead and pay off your debt. Do not expect that, because your credit score is going to go down. Not, you know, it's not going to go in the ground, but it will go down. But don't look at that, because guess what? You are debt free.
Yeah.
And you're more comfortable.
And you're more comfortable, and you are doing what the Lord wants you to do.
Once you have what you need, you shouldn't buy anything on debt. Right?
Right.
You can't afford it, don't buy it. That's good advice. Here's really good financial advice. You ready? Spend less than you make.
Oh, wow. was waiting with
bated breath.
Let's get deep in here. That's deep, man. That's deep. That's deep stuff. But some people need to hear that. Some people, that's never crossed their mind.
Government.
He's the government.
There you go.
Well, we learned a long time ago, though, just me and my family, me and my house, we give the first 10% to God, we put the next 10% in the savings account, and we live off the rest. And we don't even make that, you know, that we live off our last dollar. And we still have a cushion there. God has provided all along. He gives us enough to give to Him, to save a little, pay our bills, and even give a little. And if you do it right, you know, everybody can do that. All right. Ready for part two? We're only halfway done. 5 minutes. We better wait. We better wait.
So what if you don't have a savings account?
Well, I think you should get one. It's important. What's his name? Ramsey?
Dave
Ramsey. You should have at least 6 months worth of bills saved in your savings account. You should never dip into that. Here's the thing. You never know what's going to happen. That's why it's foolish to purposely live paycheck to paycheck. There's a lot of people who are debt poor, right? Because they, lots of times, young people will want to have everything that their parents have.
Right.
As soon as they start, right? And so you have all this debt. You front load your marriage with all this debt, you know, instead of working your way up. And it can be tough. It can be tough. But yeah, you want to get to the place where you have 6 months of your bills saved in an account. And, you know, after that, if you can keep going, get a year. You know, there's no sense in just, ooh, I have extra money. How can I spend it? You know, you don't have to live that way. So next week we'll talk about laziness. Actually, I'd probably go ahead and try to finish the rest of the stuff we haven't done yet, up through verse 19. The wicked man is next. I'm so excited about studying the wicked man in verse 12. The worthless person. Can you believe the Bible talks like that? A worthless person, a wicked man. Look what it does. He walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles with his feet. Points with his fingers. Hey, what's up?
You look so odd doing this.
You ever had known somebody or worked with somebody that winked all the time?
Yeah.
Was always winking, and yeah, it's just, I want to study this out and figure out who this chap is we're talking about here. So I'm going to take my lazy notes and add to them for next week. That sound good? I love it. You know how I love to teach more than anything else? Is to answer questions. I love it. I love people to hear people's thoughts. I love to take scripture and just put it right to somebody's immediate thought. You know, that's beautiful to me. Thinking about drinking and gambling and encouraging things like that. I was thinking earlier and I didn't say it, but I remember the Apostle Paul saying, 1 Corinthians 8, that if eating meat would make my brother stumble, I'd never again eat meat. I mean, that's the kind of attitude we need to have if we're going to love our neighbor. We be careful to do things. Your opinion on the thing doesn't matter. The issue is, will this cause somebody else to stumble? And if it will, I'm staying away from it. That's love. That's love. Let me give you a verse on that. It's 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. All right, let's pray and get out of here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. What an awesome time looking into your word. I thank you for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God, who are here and willing and ready to learn and grow and apply your word to their lives. And I pray you'll continue to guide us. Help us to walk in truth. Lord, help us to not make excuses. Help us to be careful for our neighbor. Help us to do all that we do, whether it is eating or drinking. Help us to do all we do for your glory. And Father, I pray you'll continue to bless this day. Please bless the church service that's about to start. Please use it to magnify Christ and to build up your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. That was awesome. I loved it.